The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Real Simple, and Woman's Day. Let's start off with this one from Good Housekeeping's Textiles Lab. Question, I'm not loving my mattress, but I don't want to buy a new one yet. Any tips? Their answer, the easiest way to upgrade your bed is by layering on a mattress topper, which is thick enough to add more support or softness. Don't forget that these are different from mattress protectors or pads, which are thinner and help keep your mattress clean. Here's how to find the best topper for your needs, and the prices that they list are for queen size. If your bed is hard, select down or fiber fill to add plush comfort. We love the fluffy parachute down topper. I think parachute is the brand name. Down topper, available for $359. If your bed is too soft, opt for a firm foam to boost support, like Tempur-Pedic's Tempur Topper Supreme. That's $399. If you sweat at night, try a cooling layer, like the Polar Nights mattress topper from Therapeutic. That's $299. If you have back pain at night, get pressure relief from Saatva, S-A-A-T-V-A. Saatva's graphite mattress topper, that's $275. You can shop these picks and more at goodhousekeeping.com/mattress toppers, T-O-P-P-E-R-S. From Good Housekeeping's Little Lab, advice and inspiration for your family and pets, 5 ways to boost the bright side. In her new book, Your Fully Charged Life, Megan Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, our former executive director and resident supermom, delivers a welcome dose of positivity, along with smart, realistic ways to be a better parent, partner, and friend. Here, Murphy, now editor-in-chief of our sister brand Woman's Day, shares her favorite tips on living with near-endless energy and deep purpose. Treat your family like a team. When I'm out with my husband and kids and I yell, Team Murphy, everyone comes together, and it has caught on. I got 8 Christmas cards last year from team families. Even more important is acting like a team. On Team Murphy, we understand our individual jobs, needs, strengths, and weaknesses. We celebrate when one member shines extra bright and offer help and support when one struggles. When someone slacks off or makes trouble, me included, everyone gets a lecture and runs laps. Kidding, usually just no Friday night movie or no video games. We also give out awards for MVP and have bench warmers and walk-ons too. Grandmas, babysitters, cousins. Even if you don't have kids, you can still field a team. At the end of the day, it's about appreciating that you're playing together, no one's out there alone, and everyone does their part to make magic happen. A decade in, our team isn't perfect, but none ever is. It still feels like we're winning. Next, strive for work-life and synergy. Here's the problem with work-life balance. It implies some degree of equality or even distribution of energy, time, and importance. Trying for that is like trying for perfection, and we all know how that turns out. My job will never be as important as my family, but I sometimes have to sacrifice Team Murphy because my job also matters. Plus, the demands of life, family, and work are so different and shift on a dime. How the heck can you keep score when everybody's playing different games and the rules keep changing? You can't. I think the idea of synergy is better. Synergy allows for separation and the combining of sharing of resources or elements when doing so adds even greater value. That's what I strive for. I want different parts of my life to understand the others so they can cooperate, because that helps me feel stronger, more equipped, and like the whole complex, multifaceted person I am. Slip happy surprises into the schedule. I thrive on routine. Without it, my world and psyche would have devolved into chaos and collapse. That said, knowing exactly what's going to happen day in and day out sucks the excitement out of life and can make relationships feel robotic. as psychologist Rick Hansen, Ph.D., author of Hardwiring Happiness, explains in his book, let me spell his last name, H-A-N-S-O-N, Hardwiring Happiness, the brain tends to filter out what doesn't change, a process called habituation, and that can keep us from experiencing or creating opportunities for joy. Positive experiences, especially if they're new or surprising, release a rush of dopamine to our feel-good centers and force us to pay attention. Happy surprises also hit our positive emotion buttons harder than predictable moments of joy. They make us feel cared for and loved. And engaging in novel and exciting activities versus routine ones with those we love improves how people view the relationship, even if only for yourself. Spontaneity is linked to better well-being, say other experts. Think of simple ways to shake up the everyday or add a surprise, like when my friend Lindsay turned the bathtub into a ball pit for her toddler and his expression said it all. Best day ever. Or when I surprised my kids with a mystery bike ride to a rope swing over a pond, followed by a crumb cake breakfast. Lightning bolts and hearts shot out of their ears. Try the new axe-throwing place instead of your go-to date night spots, or have a trivia night. Or do a chore your partner usually does or has been putting off. Routine saves your sanity. Surprises add spark. Celebrate the little things. Major holidays are easy to celebrate. They acknowledge worthy things like tradition, family, and religious beliefs, as well as gratitude, giving love, mothers, fathers, and independence. Don't stop there. Embrace the minor and made-up holidays, and the ridiculous and random ones, too. They offer opportunities to recognize and appreciate simple and silly things in life. Think Taco Tuesday, National Donut Day, the Super Bowl, a holiday that celebrates snacks, parties, polarizing halftime shows, and, oh yeah, sports. Yes, please. One year I showed up for my April 1st workout in head-to-toe boring black, and everyone kept asking if I was okay before I yelled, April Fool! Celebrating something makes the usual routine feel special and more fun. It's essentially positivity in practice, an excuse and a way to focus on and savor what's good. I know people find rando holidays frivolous, but the harder things are, or the more the world disappoints us, the more we need a reprieve. Holidays like National S'mores Day and Groundhog Day give you permission to prioritize fun, even just for a minute. It doesn't take much effort or time to, say, get excited that graham crackers, marshmallows, and chocolate found each other and we can eat them together. And those little hints of happiness are one more thing to help stop the world's dumpster fires from burning up your energy and joy. And support good stuff, too. My friend Francine is the most amazing hype woman. Although we've never actually met, we're virtual friends who connected on Instagram. She high-fives all my wins and the everyday good stuff I share. It feels incredible, and I cherish this unlikely special friendship. We all deserve a Francine. And we all should try to be a Francine for at least one other person. Most of us are better at showing up for friends in bad times with a listening ear and a hug, a bottomless glass of Malbec, or a freezer casserole. Aim to offer the same level of urgency, enthusiasm, and support when things go right. When we take the good for granted, we're missing a huge opportunity to capitalize on a person's good vibes. In one study, researchers watched couples discussing both positive and negative happenings and asked how understood, validated, and cared for they felt, then followed up on their relationship later. It turns out that responding actively and enthusiastically to the good stuff a partner shares is what best predicts relationship well-being, even more than responding supportively to bad stuff. So when someone shares good news, gets excited, ask questions, compliment, congratulate, talk about it. Because no matter how big your confidence or pride, no matter how much you recognize and appreciate when things go well, having someone cheerlead and megaphone your yays back to you drives those feelings and the relationship deeper into the heart. And for more inspiring ideas, pick up your Fully Charged Life by Megan B. Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y. It's $26 for the bookstore version, and hopefully it's available in an Audible version as well. From Real Simple, The Kitchen Sink. Give the hardworking zone a little TLC and get it squeaky clean with supplies you can probably find, well, under your kitchen sink. So, do this daily. Scrub your sink as part of your post-dinner routine with your regular sponge and dish soap. Remove lingering food particles first and never use steel wool or any kind of scouring pad. The material's too abrasive no matter what your sink is made of. Every 2 weeks, run the strainer through the dishwasher and do a deeper clean of the basin with a gentle abrasive powder or a paste of baking soda and hydrogen peroxide. Sprinkle the powder or spread the paste all over the surface, then scrub back and forth with a fresh, damp sponge. Start from the top of the sink's sides, working your way down. Use a small brush to de-dunk around the drain and the edge of the basin. Rinse away residue with warm water and dry the sink completely with a microfiber towel. This is especially important if you have hard water, which can leave spots. If you notice spots, dip a cloth into a 50-50 solution of water and white vinegar and rub them off. Rinse with water and dry. On special occasions, to disinfect, add 1/3 cup of bleach to a gallon of room temperature water, then apply the mixture to the sink with a clean sponge. Let it sit for 6 minutes, or according to the bleach's instructions. Rinse thoroughly and let air dry. But don't do this. Never scrub in a circular motion if you have a stainless steel sink. It can ruin that finish. Follow the steel's grain instead, working in a back-and-forth motion. And they offer up a few suggestions for products. As an abrasive powder, try a gentle one that's safe for stainless steel and porcelain, like Barkeeper's Friend. That's $2.50 at Home Depot. A non-scratch sponge, Scotch-Brite's Advanced Scrub Dots Non-Scratch Scrubbers will do the job, $4 for two at Walmart. Dishwashing gloves, use them to protect your hands when dishwashing. We like Casabella's Water Block Gloves, $7 at the Container Store, or of course any of these available online as well. Detail brush, keep a small brush nearby for crevices and corners. Try Full Circle's Micro Manager Detail Brush, $5 on Amazon. And Microfiber Towel. After deep cleaning, dry those surfaces with Grove Collaborative's All-Purpose Microfiber Cloths, $10 for three at grove.co. And under the heading New Uses for Old Things, flour. That's the baking flour. For a truly shiny sink, sprinkle a handful of all-purpose flour into the freshly cleaned, totally dry basin. Buff the flour over the surface in small, circular motions with a dry cloth. Wipe away any remaining flour when you're done. How about that? And from Woman's Day, the half-full approach. Feeling a little glass half-empty? You're not alone. But that constant stress can take a toll on your heart, triggering high blood pressure and inflammation that can lead to obesity and type 2 diabetes over time. Building resilience, healthy coping skills, is critical for overall wellness, and in particularly for your heart. You're a person of color. It's important to know about a recent study. It found that resilience is critical for Black people who are at higher risk of heart disease and stroke. Here's how we can all get better at bouncing back. Number one, prioritize you. Pay attention to your limits and take time to replenish and restore, emotionally and physically, says Samira Freeman, PS psychologist in New York City. What makes you feel good? Taking a stroll, cooking, jamming to your favorite tunes. Do those. Two, live in the now. Projecting too far ahead can increase stress levels. Stay present and grounded in what you can control, says Freeman. Gratitude may give you a chance to catch your breath. Next, find your squad. A solid support system of any size is crucial to resilience. Identify the people who are ready and able to support you in various ways and who can give you the boost you need to get over hurdles, says Freeman. And last, zoom in on life's good side. Perspective is everything, and silver linings are real. Viewing challenging experiences in positive ways can help you refocus on upsides, says Freeman. This helps you grow, learn, and feel in control. And from Good Housekeeping, there's Seal Spotlight Laundry All-Stars. They're super static buster. Few things are more annoying than static that causes clothes to stick together. Enter Bounce Wrinkle Guard Mega Dryer Sheets, which impart a fresh scent and help eliminate that dreaded cling. Plus, their extra-large size makes them perfect for use in today's large-capacity machines. The lab results? Tests in our cleaning lab show that when laundry is dried with one of these super-sized sheets, fabrics come out softer and with fewer wrinkles than when traditional sheets are used, and that means less ironing. Our cleaning experts also noted that the fragrance was subtle, not overpowering, and that it lasted beyond the dryer and into drawers or linen closet. That's Bounce Wrinkle Guard Mega Dryer Sheets, $6 for a box of 80 at Walmart.com or in the Walmart store. Next, a fab fabric softener. Ultra Downy fights the damage washing can cause with conditioning ingredients that help keep fabrics from fading, fuzzing, or stretching. Use it during the rinse cycle, in which it penetrates fibers and leaves them more flexible than washing in detergent alone. The gentle formula is dye and perfume-free, so even those with sensitive skin can use it without fear of irritation or itching. The lab results say nothing tops the fabric softening power of Ultra Downy in GH cleaning lab evaluations. And a little goes a long way. For medium loads, less than a capful is all you need. At-home consumer testers were impressed too, giving the formula top marks for its distinct, refreshing scent. That's Ultra Downy Free and Gentle Liquid Fabric Conditioner, $4.50 for a 51-ounce bottle at Walmart. And Instant Odor Eater. Extend the life of most pieces in your wardrobe, from wool blazers and sweaters to denim and gym gear, by occasionally skipping the washing machine or dry cleaner. Instead, spritz on Febreze Clothing Odor Eliminator, which helps get rid of smells from cooking, sweat, pets, and even smoke. Depending on the formula you choose, Febreze can be used on clothing, bedding, and sofa cushions, and as an air freshener. The lab results. Pros in the cleaning lab love Febreze because the technology is proven to wipe out unpleasant odors, not just cover them up. The fabric care line dries quickly and won't leave residue or spots on most items. Our analysts recommend avoiding it on materials like suede, leather, and silk. It's Febreze Clothing Odor Eliminator, $5.50 for a 15-ounce spray bottle, Febreze.com or most places. And last, for expert advice, someone asked, what is the best laundry detergent? In our last laundry cleaner test, we evaluated liquid, powder, and single-use formulas to assess how well they removed 20 common stains, grease, coffee, wine, and more, from polyester and cotton in hot and cold water. Our results showed there's no beating the cleaning power of GH Seal Star Tide. If you like powder, Tide Plus Bleach Powder was our best overall pick. For liquid lovers, Tide Plus Bleach Alternative topped our test. For single-dose convenience, Tide Pods 3-in-1 HE Laundry Detergent Packs beat out the competition. And for more of their top picks, you can go to goodhousekeeping.com/laundry. From Better Homes and Gardens, Loaded Matzo Bray, a good Passover staple, requires only matzah and eggs. Jake Cohen, author of Jewish, so his last name, C-O-H-E-N, and it's J-E-W-I-S-H, includes a few extra ingredients for a rendition that's anything but basic. So, matzo bray with lox and chives. Start to finish, 20 minutes. Oh, and Mr. Cohen says, this is one of my go-to ways to make matzo bray. It's super quick and easy, but also visually stunning, and it is a nice-looking dish. All right, we need 4 tablespoons unsalted butter, 2 medium shallots thinly sliced into rings, 4 6x6-inch sheets of matzo, a crispy unleavened bread, 4 large eggs beaten, 3 tablespoons creme fraiche, 4 ounces Nova Lox, 2 tablespoons fresh chives, finely grated zest of half of a lemon. In a large nonstick skillet, melt butter over medium, add shallots and a big pinch of kosher salt and ground black pepper. Cook, stirring often until shallots are softened and lightly caramelized, 8 to 10 minutes. Meanwhile, run each matzo sheet under water about 30 seconds to soften. Hold over a bowl in the sink in case the sheets break. Crumble into 1-inch pieces. Add matzo to shallots and cook, tossing constantly to incorporate 1 minute. Pour eggs into a skillet along with a large pinch of salt and pepper. Cook, stirring constantly until the eggs are just set, about 2 minutes. Transfer to a platter and spoon on creme fraiche, then garnish with the lox, chives, and lemon zest. Serve immediately, and it serves 4. From Martha Stewart Living. Let's start with this one if you're feeling snacky. Movie theater style popcorn. 3 tablespoons vegetable oil, 3 tablespoons unsalted butter, 2/3 of a cup popcorn kernels, 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt, and it says we use diamond crystal. Combine all ingredients in a medium-heavy pot, preferably cast iron. Heat over high, stirring until the butter melts. Cover, reduce heat to medium-high, and cook undisturbed until kernels begin popping rapidly. Offset the lid to create an 1/8 inch vent along one side of the pot. Continue cooking until popping begins to subside, about 2 minutes. Transfer popcorn to a large bowl. Toss until cooled slightly, about 2 minutes, and serve. And then it says they've got a spicy maple variation. Reduce the butter to 2 tablespoons and the salt to 1 teaspoon. Stir together 2 tablespoons pure maple syrup, 1 tablespoon sugar, and a pinch of cayenne pepper. Quickly add to the pot once the kernels begin to pop and shake vigorously a few times to evenly coat. Active time for this recipe, 5 minutes, total time 10, and it makes about 12 cups of popcorn. How about better basic beans? Keep a kettle of hot water nearby as you simmer to replenish the pot as needed. For more flavor, you can add any of these: a large outer celery leaves, a parmesan rind, woodsy herbs like rosemary, sage, and thyme, or a small dried chili. Extra bean cooking liquid makes an excellent vegetable stock. It can be frozen in an airtight container for up to 3 months. So here's what we need for the better basic beans. 1 pound of dried beans, such as borlotti, scarlet runner, white, black, kidney, or pinto. 1 small onion, peeled and halved through the root end. 4 cloves garlic, peeled. 1 dry bay leaf. Kosher salt. Cover the beans with 2 inches of water. Soak them overnight in the refrigerator. Drain and transfer to a large pot or Dutch oven. Cover again with 2 inches of water. Add onion, garlic, bay leaf, and 2 teaspoons salt. Bring to a boil, then reduce heat to a simmer. Skim and discard foam. Cook, adding more hot water as needed to keep beans fully submerged until tender and cooked throughout, about 1 to 1.5 hours, depending on the type and freshness. Season to taste toward the end of cooking. Remove and discard aromatics. Let beans cool in the cooking liquid, then refrigerate in cooking liquid in an airtight container up to 5 days, or freeze for up to 3 months. Active time was 10 minutes on this, total time 2 hours plus the soaking overnight, and it makes 2 quarts of beans. From, oh, we got one more here, weeknight skillet chili. Active time 20 minutes, total time 40, and it serves 4. You can substitute 1/4 teaspoon smoked paprika and 1/4 teaspoon cayenne pepper for the chipotle, it says. So here's what we need. 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1 red onion, finely diced, 2 cloves garlic, minced, kosher salt, 2 teaspoons chopped chipotle in adobo, 2 teaspoons chili powder, 1 teaspoon ground cumin, 1 14.5-ounce can of diced tomatoes, 3 cups cooked pinto, kidney, or black beans, or 2 cans, 15 ounces each, beans, drained and rinsed, plus 1 cup bean cooking liquid or water, 6 ounces of sharp cheddar, grated, that's 1.5 cups, 1 avocado, pitted, peeled, and chopped, 1/2 cup of fresh cilantro leaves or small sprigs, and then sour cream and blistered corn tortillas for serving. Heat oil in a large straight-sided skillet over medium. Reserve 1/4 cup diced onion. Add remaining onion to the skillet along with the garlic. Season with salt and cook, stirring until tender, 4 to 6 minutes. Add chipotle, chili powder, cumin, and tomatoes with their juices. Cook, stirring 2 minutes. Add beans and cooking liquid. Bring to a simmer. Cook until slightly thickened, 15 to 18 minutes. Season to taste. Sprinkle with cheese. Cover and cook until just melted. 2 minutes. Remove from heat. Top with reserved onion, avocado, and cilantro, and serve with sour cream and tortillas. And one from Good Housekeeping, coconut-crusted chicken cutlets. Total and active time, both 20 minutes. We need 3/4 cup sweetened shredded coconut, 1/4 cup panko, 2 scallions finely chopped, 1/2 cup all-purpose flour, 1 large egg, 8 small chicken cutlets, about 1.5 pounds, kosher salt and pepper, 4 tablespoons olive oil, divided. In a shallow bowl, combine coconut, panko, and scallions. Place the flour in a second bowl, and in a third bowl, beat egg with 1 tablespoon water. Season chicken cutlets with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Dip each in the flour, then the egg, letting any excess drip off, then coat in coconut mixture, pressing gently to help it adhere. Heat 2 tablespoons oil in a large skillet on medium. Add 1/2 of cutlets and cook until golden brown and cooked through, 3 to 4 minutes per side. Transfer to a plate and wipe out the skillet. Repeat with the remaining oil and cutlets. And this serves 4. From Martha Stewart Living, less is more. To adapt any baking recipe for a convection oven, either reduce the temperature by about 25 degrees or cut the cooking time by 25%. Says Living Assisted Food Editor Riley Wofford. Both tactics are possible because of the appliance's supercharged efficiency and speed, generated by a fan system that circulates hot air around the food. Riley prefers the former option, that would be the cutting by 25 degrees, for baking, and the latter, cutting the cooking time by 25%, for items that take an hour or more to cook, like a pot roast or whole chicken, since the amount of time saved is that much greater. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. For comments and questions, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.